individual lives and the nature of their faith, their trust in the Lord. But about two or three times throughout the chapter, the Holy Spirit stops the list of faithful lives and gives some explanation. He gives a little fuller description of the principles that he's teaching us with the lives. See, remember, these lives, this is not just a list of faithful lives. It is that, but it's not just that. This is the Lord taking these individual lives and using them to teach us different aspects of faith. That faith is confidence in something that we cannot see. It's defined in the first three verses of the chapter. And that confidence is in the Word of God. Faith has results, Abel and Enoch. Faith has results, Noah. He's saved. Abraham, he went out. But faith also has characteristics. And Noah is reverence for God's word. In Abraham, it was obedience. Faith has results, ability to do something that you're not able to do in Sarah. This is God saying, chapter 11, this is the Lord saying to us, this is faith. This is what I mean, the Lord says, when I say faith. And he's using these lives to teach us faith, what he means when he says faith. So we get to verse 13. It's very interesting what he begins verse 13 with. It's that he begins with the one particular family that he singled out, Abraham, Sarah, his son Isaac, and his grandson Jacob, which he has described their faith in the previous three or four verses. Five verses. But here in verse 13, I want you to notice that he begins the verse by describing the length of their faith. How long did Abraham have to be confident in something that he could not see? How long did Abraham have to want what God said he had for Abraham, even though it made Abraham's life difficult and inconvenient and hard? How long did Abraham have to live in a tent? How long did obedience to the Lord require Abraham to be uncomfortable and trust that God's way is best without seeing how this is best? You know how long? His whole life. He died without seeing with his eyes the fulfillment, the full fulfillment of God's promises. God had made promises to Abraham, and Abraham was confident in what God had said to the degree that Abraham relinquished all that he had in the country where he came from and said, I want what God wants. I want what God has. I believe that what God has is best. And he lived his whole life confident that what God had was best, even though he never saw all that it entailed. Verse 13 begins with the length of faith. How long will God ask us to trust him? The answer is our whole life. How long will we have to be confident in God's word, though we cannot see all that it entails? The answer is our whole lives. Now, it keeps going. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Sarah lived their whole lives confident in what God's word said. But the verse tells us that as they lived their whole lives, it gives us some description of how they thought about God's promises and what their attitude was toward God's promises. Look at what it says. It says, but having seen them, they saw what God had promised them. They heard God say, Abraham heard God say, get up and go. I'm not going to tell you where you're going, but get up and go. He knew what God wanted him to do. That's what it means when it says having seen them. It means that Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Sarah, that they knew what it was that God had for them. And it was to go, to leave his comfortable life, to live in a tent in a foreign land. He knew exactly what that was. He saw it. Let me just challenge us for just a second here. An aspect of faith is knowing what God's Word says. That seems obvious, but I want to just point that out, that there is absolutely no way for us to be confident in God's Word if we do not know what it says. We have to know what God's Word has. Abraham, Isaac, Sarah, Jacob, they saw God's promises. They heard His Word. They knew what it was that He had. And it says that they welcomed them from a distance. The concept of welcoming somebody is that there is joy in receiving that. That they heard God's promise and they considered it good. They heard God's Word. They knew what God wanted them to do. And when it says that they welcomed them, what that means is that Abraham considered it good that God wanted Abraham to leave his family and his homeland and go live in a tent somewhere else that he didn't even know where he was going. He welcomed that. Now, I want to stop right here. Because I want us to take a minute and I want to just play this scenario out a little bit. Because I think as we play this scenario out, I think we will gain some understanding in what the Lord is describing here. We need to understand that Abraham lived in a place called Ur. God called him out of Ur of the Chaldees. And Abraham came, you can go back to Genesis and read a description. There's not a whole lot, but there's a little bit of a description of Abraham's family. He most likely came from a very affluent family. It was a landowning family. And you need to understand that Abraham and his father and the rest of his family, they were planning, by all accounts, they would have been going through and they were planning how to make the most, the next year more profitable than this year. They were putting all of their collected resources together and they were attempting to use them in the most profitable way so that they could be sure that their lives were viable for the next year. They wanted to make sure that their lives were secure. You are talking about some very successful people at what they were doing. A lot of it was agriculture. There was craftsmanship. There was skill involved. But you're talking about some people who were making some very good decisions and who had created for themselves a very secure and comfortable life. And people who have that kind of resources, they spend most of their time walking through, making decisions, how to make sure that their resources are spent and used in the best way to make their lives the most comfortable and secure. That's just what people do. That hasn't changed in the 4,000 years since Abraham lived. But one morning, Abraham comes into his mama's kitchen and his dad is sitting at the table. And he doesn't sit down, he stands up next to the table. There's his dad sitting at the table and his mother over on the other side. And he says, hey, I got to tell you guys something. I have to leave. And his mother looks, she turns around and she says, what do you mean you got to leave? And his dad said, well, where are you going? And he says, I don't know. His dad said, you don't know? What? Son, what are you talking about? What do you mean you don't know? And Abraham says, well, that's right. the Lord has told me that He has an inheritance for me and that He wants me to go, but He didn't tell me where I'm going. And his dad just kind of shakes his head and says, son, your inheritance is right here. And what you need to do today is get back to work to make sure that we don't lose what we have worked for to be your inheritance. So just, he'll get back to work. And Abraham says, no, Dad, I'm leaving. And his dad said, you don't even know where you're going. That's right. Son, this is crazy. You mean all that we have worked for and all of the resources that we have gained, you're going to just leave and you don't even know where you're going. Dad, that's what I got to do. Because, Dad, God has said that He has an inheritance for me. And, Dad, I want what God has. I'm confident that God's Word is good and I can trust it. And, Dad, I think I want what God has for me. And his dad said, son, if you leave out of here, whatever you're able to take, you don't even know where you're going. You're going to lose it in a month. You're going to blow through everything that you have in a month. You'll be back here in a month broke. I guarantee you. And that seemed so foolish. But you know, Abraham left. He did. And it wasn't easy for Abraham. It wasn't necessarily that it was easy for Abraham. In fact, Abraham ended up living in tents and had to explain to his son and his grandson why there was a really nice town over there, but God would have them live in tents. But what he said to his son and his grandson was, boys, we want what God has. Because boys, we're confident that what God has for us is better. And Abraham's parents and everybody in those towns that Abraham passed by, all of them were living their lives, making very good decisions if your goal is to make your life more secure and more comfortable and more profitable and to meet your goals and your plans, to reach your dreams. But Abraham had to tell his son and his grandson, boys, we're not chasing any of that. In fact, we're letting all of that go. And guys, we're confident that what God has for us is best. That is a synopsis of verses 8 through 12. And I want us to see that when God says that Abraham, that all of these saw God's promises and welcomed God's promises, that what that meant in Abraham's life is that he became and in fact embraced the fact that he was becoming an alien and a stranger. Some of your translations say strangers and exiles. You know what a stranger? A stranger is somebody who doesn't quite fit in where they're from somewhere else. They don't do things like we do around here. That's the definition of a stranger. They don't quite do things the way we do. An exile is somebody who's not from here and's not staying here. Another word that some translations have used is sojourner or traveler. Somebody who's not planning to be here very long. You know what? If you're a traveler, if you're just passing through a town, you don't make the same decisions that somebody who's dwelling there permanently does. Like if If you actually just recently, I spent a night in Richmond. There was a SBCV pastors meeting in Richmond that I went to. I don't often go to those things, but I did this past week on Tuesday night. And you know what? I went to Richmond, and I am a stranger and an exile in Richmond, and I like it that way. I do not want to live in Richmond. And so I went, and the SBCV, actually, there was a group of us pastors. SBCV actually put us up at a hotel in Glen Allen. They paid for the hotel. But you know what? If you're going to live there, you don't go stay in a hotel if you're going to live there. First of all, that would be really expensive and very inconvenient, because you don't have a kitchen and all you got is a bed and a bathroom. That's it. But that's what strangers and exiles do. They're not making decisions that would benefit permanent residents. And so it seems odd, seems strange. And Abraham, because Abraham trusted God's word and wanted what God had for him, Abraham didn't pursue the same things that those who are permanent residents here on earth pursue. He didn't do the same stuff. Allison and I have had several conversations here recently, in particular with our two oldest children. And it really is a great blessing, because a number of situations have come to light here recently where we hear different people within our culture talking about the importance for young people to follow your dreams and not let anybody stand in your way or anything stand in your way. The importance of writing down your goals and then pouring everything into the goals that you have for yourself. And we talk like this, and it sounds so good, doesn't it? But that is an altogether different life than the life that says, you know, what I want is what God would have for me. I want to follow the Lord and His path for my life. I want God's plan for my life. That is altogether different than a life that says, I have some goals and some plans and some dreams, and I am pursuing those dreams. Even to the degree that we watched a relationship, my family and I, that has absolutely no relationship to anybody in here. But we watched a relationship in here, two people who obviously loved each other, but were so consumed with pursuing their own dreams that they have potentially lost their relationship. Because what they're doing is I want to encourage her to pursue her dreams, and I want to encourage him to pursue his dreams, but we think we can hold on to this relationship with both people selfishly pursuing their own dreams, and it is a disaster. But you know what we do? Faith says this. Faith says, you know, Why don't we see if the Lord wouldn't lead both of us in the same direction? Because I don't want my dreams and my goals. I want what God has for me. I want to do what the Lord would have me to do. That's altogether different. But what happened in Abraham's life is he had to say to his son and his grandson, guys, we want what God has for us. And that's going to make us different than everybody around us. It's going to. It's going to make us different. Because we are confident that what God has is best. even if it's hard, even if it's inconvenient, even if it's uncomfortable. Now watch this. Verse 14. For those who say such things make it clear that they are seeking a country of their own. Can I tell you something? What you're looking at in this verse, this is the Lord, listen, ultimately, this is the Lord saying, this is what faith is. When we talk about faith, this is what God means. This is faith. It is to seek, to pursue something different than what we naturally would want. Something different than what we can see. To say in our heart, I am not going to pursue the here and now. I am going to pursue the then and the there. That what God has for me then and there is so much better than anything I can get here and now. And so I want to pursue what God has because I am confident it will be worth it then and there. Whatever it is I don't have here and now, I don't need it. Because I am confident that what I really want and what I really need is then and there. Now, I want to talk about that again in just a minute, but let me just take a parenthesis. What we're looking at here in verses 13 and 14 is Abraham and his life. And what the Lord is saying about his life is that faith is not tied to any positive results here on earth. You realize that? That our trust and our obedience in the Lord, it's not tied to our desire for positive results here on earth. We don't trust the Lord and obey the Lord because we think it's going to make me rich. I don't trust the Lord and obey the Lord for practical reasons. This is how it might show up. You might hear in your own mind or maybe out of somebody else's mouth something like this. Well, listen, you know, if you'll just go to church every Sunday, life will be so much easier. You'll see that. You know what? If you just do things God's way, then, man, life would be so much easier for you. Can I tell you? That may not be true. And that is not what faith does. Faith recognizes, I'm going to trust the Lord, and as I trust the Lord, and as I want what He wants, that very well may mean that my life becomes harder. That very well may mean that there will be sacrifices that I have to make that are painful and hard and difficult. And so we don't trust the Lord. Our faith is not there. It is not a practical faith. We don't trust the Lord for the practical benefit that we get out of it, at least not here on earth. Because we very well may live our whole life without seeing all of the goodness that trusting the Lord is. Now, it may be that for some of us in here, God calls us to obey Him and to step out and to make a sacrifice that does not seem wise. But we want what God has. And so we say to the Lord, God, I am happy. I welcome making that sacrifice because I know what You have there and then is so much better than anything that I have here and now. And so, God, I welcome that. And I am thankful for Your leadership. I want what You have for me. And maybe that is just reverent obedience like Noah. But it might be that faith shows up in some of our lives, not necessarily in a step of obedience, but it may show up in some of our lives as a trusting endurance. That it is that the path of obedience has led us to a place where I feel like I'm living in tents and I don't have everything that I need. And God, You have put me in this particular condition. And God, this is not the condition that I really wanted to be in or that I really thought I would be in. God, I kind of saw this thing playing out differently and I really didn't expect to still be here. But faith is confidence that what God has for me is better than anything else.
There's an old song, praise chorus. And it says this, it says, Lord, You are more precious than silver. Lord, You are more costly than gold. Lord, You are more beautiful than diamonds. Nothing that I desire compares with You. That is what the Lord means when He says faith. That's what faith is. That God, what You have is better than anything else that I might desire.
We see in verse 14, we need to understand that when we make these sacrifices, when we endure these difficulties, it is because we're looking for something different. That we're seeking something different than just the here and the now. We want what God has in the there and the then. And it's an altogether different desire.
But watch verse 15.
If indeed they had been thinking of that country from which they went out, they would have had opportunity to return. God, I know that You are calling me to this, but God, I just don't think I can do that. I just don't think I can make that sacrifice. God, the condition that You've put me in, the situation that You've placed me in, and You've called me to endure this, God, I just don't think I don't think I can. I don't think I can endure that. And we make decisions to change the circumstances outside of God's will. And we need to know, you need to know that when you see that show up in your life, when there is an unwillingness to make the sacrifice, when there is an unwillingness to endure, and we begin to seek other things, the reason that's happening, the verse says, if they had been thinking of that country from which they went out. The reason you see that show up in your life, if you see that, it is because your mind is on the here and now. It is because your heart is desiring the here and now and not what God has there and then. We need to understand that. We need to recognize that. If there are sacrifices we're unwilling to make, if there are conditions that we are just not able and not willing to endure, and we start making decisions for my goals rather than for what God has, then we know there's a problem with my heart. My heart's focused on the here and now rather than on the there and the then. C.S. Lewis described it like this. It's like being content to play in the mud pies in the slums when you're being offered a holiday at the sea. Because you don't have any idea what the holiday at the sea is like. And so you just stay and play with mud pies in the slums. What God has there and then is so worth enduring and sacrificing anything in the here and now. So worth it. It gets even better. But as it is, they desire a better country. That is a heavenly one. See, it's a different desire. Faith is a confidence in what God has said and a desire for what He has. And then watch this, the result of that. God is not ashamed to be called their God. Now, what does it mean? What does it mean when somebody says they're not ashamed to be called their God? Or I'm not ashamed to know you. You know what that means? Let me give you the word that we use. That means that God is proud of you. I mean, if He is not ashamed, it means that He is proud to be called their God. Most of the for whatever reason, my emotions are very close to the surface this morning. I don't even know why. Probably one of the greatest joys in any of our lives, but for certainly in mine, is the thought that my dad is proud of me. And he's here this morning. And I've had conversations with young men. And they will say, man, if the Lord is my heavenly Father, then there is this desire to know that my Father is proud of me. And that's a good desire, even in relation to our heavenly Father. And this is the Lord saying, hey, here it is. This is what faith is. This is what it means to trust me, to be confident in my word, to trust that what I am saying to you is greater than anything that you can see, to be willing to follow even when you don't know how it's going to turn out and it's different than what your dreams are. To be willing to endure even when it's hard because you're confident that what God has there and then is greater than anything I desire here and now. And there isn't a thing in the world that is worth giving up that there and then and hearing God say, well done. Not one thing is worth giving that up. Not all the sacrifice of anything here on this earth. Not enduring anything, even for our whole lives. Nothing is worth it. Because faith says, I am confident that is best. That's what faith is. That's what God means when He says, faith, trust me.
Father, God, I ask you to help us to trust you more. God, what you have given is better than anything we desire. And I pray that you would help us to see what you have and to welcome it, if even from a distance. God, you know the things that you have called us to sacrifice. God, you know the things that you have led us to endure. But oh God, I pray that you would make us confident in your hand and your word. Make us faithful. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In just a second, we're going to stand and we're going to sing.